Okay, good afternoon. So, I got 10 minutes, right?
10 minutes.
to tell you about the ideas behind this. I'm going to assume that you can read, so let me go through this. This is a friend of mine, David Heston's definition of the model. I don't know if you agree, but to me that's... mathematics in itself is representations. I'm a mathematician, as you know, and representing structure, that's the essence of what modeling is about. And a model always is created within these three parameters, the context, the purpose, the target group. Often there are others as well, but these are fundamental in my way of looking at models. And the models I will discuss today have been created within the context of human communication, where you can see purpose of creating a space for describing and discussing cultural evolution. Doesn't mean that you can do it, doesn't mean that you have access to the information, but it means that, in the sense of Einstein, if you had all the hidden variables, if you knew who had met who had been part of every committee, every meeting that ever took place. Anybody have a laser pointer? Okay.
You see here, this is basically the most important part. Creating placeholders for describing and discussing cultural evolution. And the target group is the general interested public, basically.
And so this is basically the way I look at this mental modeling. This is a lot like Peter Senge and other people. And it's basically you have tacit and explicit dimensions. You see how tacit dimensions are like, I think of myself as an optical bench. Some of the models are in front of me. I can see them. They are in my maybe space. Some of them are behind my eyes. They are in my tacit space. They are beliefs, assumptions, feelings. And these models work as lenses. They direct where I look, and they direct how I interpret what I see. That's the observe-act loop up there. And mental modeling is basically about trying to bring out those beliefs and assumptions, to make them explicit. I don't know if how many of you are familiar with Peter Senge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his book, The Fifth Discipline, is one of the best books on modeling that has ever been written. If you're interested in systemic modeling, read that book. There are some patterns in there. One of the things he talks about, one of the disciplines is mental modeling, is trying to surface beliefs and assumptions. Christian was talking about disagreement management before. That's a term I've started using for what we do. And a very important part of disagreement management is mental modeling. It's bringing out the beliefs and assumptions. So that you do it like in mathematics. You know, Bertrand Russell said, mathematics is a discipline where we don't know what we're talking about, and neither whether what we say is true or not. Why did he say that? Because every mathematical statement begins with an if. If A were true, then B would follow. It says nothing about A, or about B.
Your microphone's muted.
Okay. Did I? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thanks. So, this is a model. It goes back to, how many of you heard about the Ichihiro Nonaka? The Seki model. I'm involved in knowledge management. Nonaka is one of the big gurus in knowledge management. And these are two levels. Basically, the explicit level, the formal level, the conscious level, that's the C level, and then the subconscious level. And they interact through externalization, where you bring up ideas, and internalization, where you think about what you experience. And they go between these. And if you want to, I use this notation where I take a process and cut it in two. And the top is the formal, the explicit, the conscious. The bottom is the informal, the tacit, the subconscious. And you can express, this is kind of standard process modeling, in the business process modeling style, plus a little extra semantics. So you can express these kinds of things. And there's a reference if you're interested in this. It's a quite powerful semantic language. The arrows mean different things here. And like you were saying before here, John, so important. Semantics of arrows is the key to semantic diagrams, which is like music. It can translate language barriers. So I'm going to talk about now the holographic information model, the way I like to think about information. And this is a basic hologram, two points. The waves going out, you know, is two circular waves, is averaging out over time, but the pattern is stable. If you record that pattern, you will have something that is stable, and you will be able to record, to bring back everything by sending in one of the waves. That's the essence of a hologram. You can set it up like that. Let's skip that. And that also, because this is basically the way I think about this. We have an external world is one beam coming in as an object beam. The internal thing is a reference beam. In fact, the internal thing is the past. That's what we are bringing, the biases we have. Biases are like fuses. Without biases, we'll blow our brains up because we have 3 million bits per second coming in and we're processing about maximum 30 bits per second in the conscious brain. So what's happening here is that we're adding our reference beam of the past to the situational object beam, and we're creating a cognitive impression, an interpretation hologram. And then we do these, and we do them together with other people, and we do them on the background of our cultural atmosphere, you know, all this stuff that we build up, which is very often in the tacit, I call it the tacit cultural reference model. And we interact. And basically, we create sense from a situational pattern by adding our shared mental models on this and creating a relevance pattern, a judgment formed by a prejudgment. So that's the process of recording information, really, in that sense. And this is from the abstract. It shows you a situation. Shows you, basically, here is the situation, we are taking an impression of it. Basically, we are prejudging the situation. This is kind of like Dirac's bracket notation for the physicists. I like to think like that. And you can see also how, here's a simple model, history. So where is the cursor? History is the integral of story. Basically, you are adding stories. You're adding them in an externalized form because that's the only way we can store them. Except that there are some people living, like I'm starting to feel like that. I can remember what it was like 50 years ago. You know, that's amazing. It makes me feel part of history. But anyway, we form an impression. Very important, we always form an impression, and then we externalize that and form an expression. So that's how this model works. We have I call it the signer here, who is controlling this process, forming judgments, consisting of explicit expressions, but they are formed from implicit impressions. Now, here's the semantics of arrows. The fat arrows here are data flow arrows. The ordinary arrows are just association arrows, one-dimensional associations. So it's a good example of the semantics of arrows and how that... And, of course, this means part of. So signifier has many judgments. This means also that prejudgments consist of, or has part beliefs and assumptions. This diagram has a cylindrical topology because this is the same part as here. So basically this thing then is fed into the store, which we call history. This part is carried tacitly by the living. This part is carried by the living and the dead. That's the difference. And it's basically like this. Think of culture as a sort of air mattress which is being propelled on the fins of dolphins coming up and going down. Every dolphin is a living lifespan, basically. We all carry that culture on our back. We're sort of doing it while we can, and then we go down. And as you see here, if there's no contact in the lifespans, no live contact, then we can only have recorded plus or indirect tacit knowledge transfer, which is like what I call a tacit chain. You can know someone who knows someone who was there, you know, and they have talked about it and carried some form of tacit. But during the living, you have, of course, both tacit and explicit knowledge. Here's an example of a, basically, this is a recorded level. This is time moving here. You can think of this as a company that has changed management, but it has never allowed the new management to meet the old management. The old management just left a written record and the new people came in. That was like only recorded knowledge transfer happening here. As opposed to here, where the old management is walking parallel with the new management for a while.
teaching them and showing them how to run the stuff. So that's kind of like a tacit chain. And you can think of these happening on different levels recursively. You can think of them basically, let me go fast through this, because, and you can combine them. See, this notion here is recursive. Recursively, so you can apply it on every level. There's a conversation going on here between, think of these as individuals, they form a group here, and there's a conversation. These, as a group, are involved in a conversation with another group, and that's happening within a third group, etc. So, this then can be combined with this, what I was showing you, this time flow here. So here is basically this is my dream visual interface to modeling cultural evolution. Because here you have any kind of combination of things that's been going on between people. And here you can record, you can build graphs in this direction, like curves, tying them up to events and tying them to all the things that happened there, who was involved, everything. That's the kind of model I'm after here. And of course, this would take, you know, today with the visualization tools that we have, it's easy to build such a thing. Inside, what would you store? I haven't drawn that, but you'd store maps, you'd store things like you see in the television shows, whirling things coming at you, but they would be annotated with different things. And let me finish by just showing you how that kind of annotation can look. This is an old picture from 1976. I've been thinking about these things for a long time, but in different... I'm a mathematician, I'm a computer scientist, I'm specialized in geometry, and now I'm doing knowledge management with a lot of social people around me, so I don't get much chance to talk mathematics. But basically, here you can see this model evolved into what I did quite recently. This is the explicit level. We have thoughts in our head. Other people have other thoughts. There are some of them are common in some way. That's problematic, of course, what we mean by that. But we feel we can communicate. Some things we can. So we need to project into communication space. But we also have that on the tacit level. So we can think of ourselves as some sort of light cones, explicitly and tacitly. We intersect with other people. And we intersect with organizations, all these different levels, right? These recursive levels can have cones like this. And this represents basically what A and B have in common explicitly. What A and B have in common, A cut B plus. That should be a triangle. This is a problem. This is done on a Mac. This is should be the symbol for the symmetric difference. So that's what A has, which B doesn't have, plus what B has, what A doesn't have. That's the differences. You're basically dividing two sets up into the common parts and the separate parts. And the common parts are represented in the intersection of these. And you can think of it as forming a new cone out of this. This is the common part. This is the common tacit part. And that's interesting because then you get some sort of almost like Feynman integrals. Well, not almost. But there are... Like Chris was talking about yesterday, you know, how you can develop a pattern language to avoid thinking about the messy details. You don't do that. You do the engineering diagrams, the star polygon transformations. It's a similar thing here. You want a notation that can capture, work as placeholders for, I want this event. These people were involved. They were basing their decision on this thing. Okay, bam, 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 here's the representation of that. And I want to have that in my glasses. So I have swirling processes. I decide I want to follow certain things, and as soon as I feel this is important for this process, I just want to say, frame it and store it there and annotate it with this or relate it to this. Because like for me, this is a discourse is a ping pong game where I'm talking against a background which is tacit to me. It's almost like I have a map in my head and I have certain lightning paths happening. I talk inserted about certain things, but against the background. You answer me in the same way. And imagine we could capture all those. Yes, I should stop now. But let me finish with this picture here. This would be the equivalent of a Feynman integral, of moving in this space and trying to record. This is a tacit chain. Who were involved? What were they doing? What documents were they producing? What films? What explicit things were they producing? You can record, or you can have a model to describe this. It doesn't say what it is. I don't believe. It doesn't matter if the information is really formed like a hologram, but it's a great model to think, because you can account easily for the fact that different people interpret situations in different ways. So thanks for your attention.